something that's a floodplain, are you allowed to put in a holding pond like that, or you're not allowed to change the water at all?
No.
You're not. So you can't change that on this piece of land either.
It's not recommended to put a storage, or a stormwater pond or a flood pond in the floodplain, because you're not really providing any benefit. The stormwater pond is really to cut back water flowing into that area. So putting one in a floodplain or in the flood fringe is not recommended.
Anyone else wishing to speak on this matter? Anyone else? Anyone else? Seeing no one else, I will close this public hearing for this particular matter. Questions from the commission? Commissioner Haley.
Some comments, and I'm sorry to have to do this, but we need to simplify, and there's some issues with verbiage and semantics here that is confusing everybody. If I misspeak, Mr. City Attorney, please correct me. Zoning is a right that the municipalities have to control what can and can't be done on the property in the future. It has nothing to do with the selling of land. The property owner gets to decide forever and ever what they do with their land. If they choose to sell it, if they choose to keep it, the only regulation the city has is when you go to put a building on it, for example, or some other use, it needs to be consistent with that zoning. So rezoning this parcel or any of these now does not affect their saleability, their ability to be traded down the line. They are owned by Milwaukee County. The lands in question are all under the jurisdiction of the Parks Department, and the Parks Department has requested that they be rezoned to more accurately reflect what really happens there, and as Supervisor Taylor said, to help protect them, because there were protections before. No county lands could be sold without the full county board, the county executive in concurrence. That has now changed at the state level, and so there are lands that could just be disposed of, as was said. Rezoning these is the only way to protect them and keep them so that it requires the full action of the county board. If they're not zoned specifically park, the county executive and one other individual can sell them. If they are zoned as park, and it's a strange fluke, if the parkland zoning is there, then they have to go through the full original whole process. So this isn't really very complicated. This is the property owner requesting of the municipality that it rezone all of the properties that it has under its control to more accurately reflect what it is. It's parkland. It was not purchased for future development. Future development has happened on some piece. If you read our park and open space plan, it specifically says these lands were bought to be future parklands for Franklin. That's why they're being held there. The Parks Commission back in the early part of the century didn't buy this for future real estate speculation. This land is parkland, and the city can't change that. They can change the label on it, and that label can affect what actually gets built on there. But as you've heard, there's not anything being proposed to be built on any of these right now. So I can't think of a reason out there why all of these parcels can't be zoned. Now, I would ask, we do have the two PDDs at the Farm and Fish Hatchery and Crystal Ridge. Do those not have underlying parkland zoning in the PDDs? Or?
Yes, but that we use the park standards for setbacks primarily. We specified specific uses.
Right. So it's logical to say that they don't need to be rezoned as park. They have their own discrete zoning. That's what a PDD is. Unfortunately, without the label on them that says parkland zoning, they are not protected from the changes in state law. So I think it's probably realistic that we don't have to go after the PDDs. I think there's enough inherent protections in them. They're under long-term leases, so you're not going to see any proposed development for that. So I don't think that the county particularly has an issue with that. But all of the other parcels, this is a means of protecting what's already there. And I must, in full disclosure, I work for Milwaukee County Parks Department. I have no benefit from any of this. I'm trying to illuminate people to understand what's really going on. These are already your parklands, and they will stay that way until the county decides to get rid of them in one way, shape, or form. If they decide in the future it makes more sense to swap things out with a developer or the city, they can do that. The zoning, if that were to happen, isn't an issue because the new owner can then petition the city, or if the city's the owner, can petition to change the zoning. Zoning is easy to change. It's part of the mistake that was made by the state is that zoning really isn't a strong tool in terms of protecting land. But when they tied this verbiage to it, it created a weak link. So this is really straightforward. These lands are no different than the ones that the city previously approved. The difference is the first round were those that had physical park amenities, buildings, ball fields, things. It was very straightforward. But all of these are parklands. They're under the jurisdiction of the department, and they're not intended to be sold or built on. Will that change in the future? Maybe. Rezoning these right now doesn't do anything but help protect them. Real simple.
City Attorney.
Just a couple comments, and this, once again, is a hypothetical. But with regard to some lack of transparency because staff did not put red areas on the map where staff was recommending denial of the application, my concern would be that that would be the converse of transparency. Let's take a step back to the item preceding this one where staff recommended denial on each and every item, including waivers, unless they were conditioned, pretend that that applications had maps and that they were 100% red, public looking at that as some form of notice would think, well, there's an application for rezoning, but it's recommended for denial, so we don't have to go to the public hearing because it's going to be denied. So that would be my concern if you always did red dotted maps where staff is recommending some form of denial. I think that would be misleading, John and Jane, to you public. Just for the record, that's my thought.
Commissioner Fowler.
Thank you. In full disclosure, I'm also a member of the Parks People, and I've done a lot of work with Weed Out, and I've worked on, if you could put the map back up, and if I could borrow the laser pointer real quick. You have a laser pointer, Joel?
Yeah.
Oh, thanks. How does it work?
Not very well.
Is it a death ray?
There it is.
I've got a death ray, but
it's oh, I see it. There it goes. These that went out. Those parcels I just there, right there. These parcels down here are some of the finest forested wetland along the Root River there is in Milwaukee County. I've spent the last 4 years, and I just got, because the county made me get one, a pesticide applicator's license so I can spray buckthorn and garlic mustard. You know. But thanks, John. It was a lot of fun getting that applicator. I hadn't taken a test in a long time. But anyway, I've been working in these, particularly these two parcels right here. Those are really valuable to hold on to. A lot of it is floodplain. But again, it's a valuable forest. At some point in time, the county may, in its wisdom, determine that parts of that, some fringes of it, could be sold for development. I'm not a real estate person, but that would be something that would have to go in front of the entire county, which I agree with. I think the whole county board needs to make that decision. My question to the parks director, and I think I already know the answer, but I just want clarification. The county has, in the past, had unused or parkland that has been determined either for the use by another government agency, such as the Milwaukee Sewage District or others, has agreed to sell off land when the board and the county executive can come to an agreement and sell that land to a municipality or to someone else, and that has been done on other occasions. So because we put this and zone it parkland and it becomes necessary for the whole board to vote on it, that doesn't preclude it from being sold. Is that correct? Can I ask that question here? I'm sorry. So
Mr. Dargle.
Yeah, please. if you could expound on that, Director Dargle.
That's correct. Yeah.
Thank you.
Good job.
Thanks, John. Appreciate it. So I guess my feeling is I understand that there are the politics of the county are what they are. I hate to see Franklin get kind of tied up in some of that.
We're in it.
But it But to me, it means we can, if the city of Franklin had a developer who was interested, and we came to agreement with the city and that developer, we could petition, jointly petition the county, and come to them and say, look, here's this land. We think a portion of it would meet perfect sense. I think the mayor is absolutely correct. Along Putes Road, there are some areas that look like they'd be beautiful for home sites. I agree with them. We need more there. That would help the Franklin School District. That's another one of my pet peeves. I'm off topic, sorry. But I think that would be something that the board and the executive director could come to agreement on if we petition together to ask for something. Thank you.
City engineer.
If the county intended for all these properties to be parked total forever and ever, I guess I'm kind of curious why they're farming any of it now. If they're farming some of it, then that would imply that it can be used for things other than parkland that they're using it for, especially if there's some places that could make nice development sites. So
I guess I can answer that.
Okay. Why is it still being farmed? I'm done.
These are lands that we acquired over probably the last 100 years. Many of them were farms. The only reason that we farm these properties is to help us maintain them, to deal with weed control, managing the land, the raw soil. They are being literally held for the development of future parks. So we can make a couple of bucks in it, but that's not what it's all about. Our local farmers can make a few bucks because there's a shortage of farmland around here. And it's a way that we can help to manage these lands in a more sustainable way while we're waiting for them to be developed. So it's strictly a holding pattern. They were never required for farming, and in fact, we are currently farming less and less of our properties. It's not as desirable for farmers or small fragmented pieces, and it's just one of those things that we're doing to help manage. Because quite frankly, if we didn't, we'd have your weed commissioner on our back constantly about dealing with these farms, because the vegetation needs to be maintained. So the farmers do that for us.
But in the CRP program for things like that, where you can let it go fallow and occasionally go in and cut it?
We utilize the CRP program. It's no longer going to be available to municipalities like us, and we are doing that. Again, the county is holding over 15,000 acres, and the plan is this is not for real estate development. It's to develop a world-class park system throughout the entire county, 19 communities. And there happens to be a lot of raw agricultural land in Oak Creek and Franklin, because those are the communities that aren't fully built up yet. It's being held for the future. And the important thing is zoning has nothing to do with this. You can still trade the stuff. You can sell it. You can do whatever wants to be done. Zoning is not an impediment. Right now, for political reasons, rezoning this stuff helps to maintain the protections that are already in place, or were in place, if you will. So they are there. There are people that walk our ag fields, the edges, the buffers. These are all the hydric soils. These are the areas that shouldn't be developed. And responding to the point of, can't some of this ever be developed? It is. The stuff along Putes Road, you pointed out, that was county land. Mm-hmm. We held that land for years waiting for the reconstruction of Putes Road, which was envisioned, was needed. When that finally happened, those were declared surplus. We don't need them anymore. We know the road's going. They were sold. They are now wonderful developments for Franklin. There's nothing precluding that here on the table. This is really, really simple. They are parkland. They are dedicated as parkland. They're under the direct control of the parks director. It seems appropriate to zone them as such.
Commissioner Foe.
Just one last point, too, to kind of reiterate what Kevin's saying, and I think it supports what the parks director John Dargle's charge is, to try to hold this land. If you go back in history of the city of Milwaukee, I'm not going to talk about Franklin for a moment, but if you remember the floods of 97 and 98, I was newly minted at the Milwaukee Sewage District as a flood manager. It was a great start to my job with floods hitting in 97 and 98. But if we had not had the vision of folks probably sat in rooms like this with different kind of clothing on in the 20s, 30s, and 40s when they kept that land along the Menominee River, along the Kinnickinnick River, along Underwood Creek, and some of those areas where they kept development from houses building right up next to the creek, those people would have had terrible flood damages. And I can tell you on Honey Creek, where they were not able to save those parkways, there was terrible flooding. So So a lot of times, yes, there's always going to be pressure for development. I'm going to be one of the people that's going to be pressing for development, particularly in the Franklin School District. We desperately need more revenue, property revenue, coming from that area. But we need to do it wisely. I support the fact that I think the board and the executive should agree on what they're going to do with their property. I think the mayor's correct. The Putes Road area is an area that should be open to development. As Kevin Haley pointed out, there are areas that have already been sold from the county or transferred to the city and be open for development. But again, I look back in history and see the battles that were fought over some of these parkways that we now see as our green emerald necklaces that connect the city with the outer suburbs, and I love driving them and riding my bike through them. They may not have existed if there had been some change in the control. I don't think, as State Representative Skowronski, I don't think it was the legislature's intention to make it easier. It was made to try to simplify what they thought was a complicated process. It was not intended to have this slip by and allow for the non-legislative bodies of the board, like the county, to make that decision. Maybe it was. Maybe I'm naive. But I can support this. I do think we could keep the Two Hunger Task Force off the list. I think for the very reasons that Joel pointed out, I think it would cause problems for what the activities they have there. But maybe we should throw that other parcel back on. And I think we should make a note as a planning commission that we would ask that the county parks director and that the board of supervisors take into consideration when Franklin comes back, we've done this, that keep that in mind, that when we come back, that they listen to us with an open mind when we have other areas that are wise to develop and have actually everything that we need, the flat ground, their farm. They don't have a park activity scheduled for them. So I just hope they would keep that open mind when we come back to them asking for that to be developed.
For the record, the parcels that I'm talking about, 2.23 acres, tax key 851-9994-001. 8 acres, 851-994-004. Go either way on this one. 36.5 acres, 852-999-002. There are some additional restrictions on that particular parcel, but just so everybody knows, the parcels that I had that really aren't park, and those would be, come on, what'd you do?
I got to tap it.
I told you it was not working well.
There it is.
There you go. That parcel and this strip on the other side of the street. The other side of the street doesn't help, but it's contiguous, you know.
It's wet.
It's all high. It's all high. Anyway.
That's another discussion.
Anyway, so that's my thing. So the public hearing's closed. Did I close the public hearing?
Yes.
Okay, there's two actions. Comprehensive Master Plan Amendment. Is there a motion to approve a resolution recommending adoption of an ordinance to amend the City of Franklin 2025 Comprehensive Master Plan to change the City of Franklin 2025 future land use map for the property bearing tax key?
Do you want to do it this way? Is this not all the properties?
That's correct. That's
947-998-000 from residential recreation and areas of natural resource features to use to recreational and areas of natural resource features use, and the property tax bearing tax key 796997-002 from residential and areas of natural resources features use to recreational and areas of natural resources features use, and the property bearing tax keys 757-9979-000 and 757-9978-000 and 757-9983-000 from residential use to recreational and areas of natural resource features use pursuant to stats 66.10014B. There's such a motion.
their motion.
I'm kind of confused. What does this do?
It's a comprehensive master plan amendment.
Okay. Yeah. So moved. All right. I think I understand.
Is there a second?
Second.
Question of the motion. The motion is to rezone several parcels that are currently on the comprehensive master plan as something else, parkland.
Future land use.
Comprehensive master plan. Future.
I thought I heard zone.
And I guess what I'd like clarification on is which parcels, if any, are excluded. If I understand, the resolution does not exclude any.
If you look on the paper map, they have like a dashed box around them.
So it's the rock?
Nope.
Okay.
Those were the little ones.
Okay.
By the school park.
Can you go back to those for a minute, the ones you just pointed? Those properties were the ones, I believe, that were purchased by the Milwaukee Sewage District, some of those as flood-prone properties, which were sold to the county to put the bike trail in. Is that correct?
There is a trail. Yes.
Yeah, those are the ones that we sold to the county, and some of those were purchased with state funds. I don't know if that bears on this at all, if there's any deed restrictions from the state funds that were used.
Mr. City Attorney?
No.
Okay. Chicken.
Come on. That's my answer. It's irrelevant.
Okay. It's because it's just a zoning change.
No, this is comprehensive.
I'm sorry.
All those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Now we'll move to the rezoning issue. As the city attorney correctly and appropriately points out, the vote was 4 ayes, no noes, 1 absent.
And the reason for stating the number is because statutory requirement on comprehensive master plan for a plan commission recommendation requires
4 votes.
Majority of the entire membership.
Okay. So we'll move on to the rezoning. Is there a motion to recommend approval of an ordinance to amend the Unified Development Ordinance zoning, which is specifically the zoning map, to rezone certain parcels of land from R2 Estate Single Family Residence District, R3 Suburban Estate Single Family Residence District, R5 Suburban Single Family Residence District, R6 Suburban Single Family Districts, Floodway District, Conservancy District, Floodplain Conservancy District, Plan Development District number 38, which is the Hunger Task Force, and an A1 Agricultural District to all of these, to P1 Park District, and any current Floodway District and or Floodplain Conservancy District will retain that same zoning along with the P1 District.
I move that we keep that resolution but remove the parcels, and I don't know how to state it properly, but remove the Hunger Task Force parcels from that motion.
And the rock.
The
right way to address it.
The rock is not part of this. I thought the rock was not part of it. Is that correct?
It might be simple just to say those that are already zoned PDD.
No. One of the Hunger Task Force properties is not PDD.
It's still.
Then it needs to be parkland.
But then those agricultural activities will be legal nonconforming. So there's no structures on there right now, the northern part. But any farming activities, the goats, all that stuff is legal nonconforming.
Also, cemetery.
Who the heck in the county is going to want to sell that parcel? Let's get on with it. Quit solving other people's political problems. Let's. Come on. Okay, so your motion is just to exclude the parcels.
Right, the two from the original recommendation from the Planning Commission, the two Hunger Task Force parcels. But, okay, I'm going to leave it at that.
Is there a second to that?
I'll second.
Discussion of motion.
I'm concerned if they're not in the PDD. If they're not in the PDD, I agree with the mayor. It's very unlikely that the county would want to sell those since the use they're under now. But is there a way for us to rezone that in such a way to provide additional protections that they'd have to go through the city? I mean, they're the property owner. We can't. The zoning is irrelevant, correct? So.
Mr. City Engineer.
So how many other parcels would be legal farming because they have farming operations on them?
Land on Putes Road is being farmed.
Well, and farming is not a prohibitive activity in parkland. It's incidental, if I'm not mistaken.
It is not listed as a use, so it's not allowed.
Growing of crops?
Yep. I got the list right here.
There is a list of SIC codes for farming agricultural activities, which are not permitted or allowed in the P1 district.
And now we're back to my favorite conversation about SIC codes.
And I guess my heartburn is the fact that farming operations, no matter how well you think you do it, it's still one of the worst polluters of stormwater. I mean, it's really tough to do that so that you can protect stormwater.
But you're not going to stop that. Zoning isn't going to stop farming. All that's in front of us is zoning right now. Land use is a different thing.
Okay, there's a motion on the table to rezone all of these parcels except for the Hunger Task Force areas. All those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries. 4 ayes, no noes, 1 absent, no abstentions. All right, we're burning through this agenda. Where's my agenda? We have another public hearing, and I need my agenda.
I'm going to call you tomorrow.
We have a public hearing relating to public streets, which is defined as federal, state, county, and city-owned streets, sidewalks and trails, construction exemption from the Natural Resource Features Protection Standards, and the Unified Development and a Unified Development Ordinance text amendment. Mr. Deedle, you want to give us an overview first?
Yes, sir. This is a proposal originally started with staff. Engineering was looking at roads. When Glenn talked to me, I suggested we add trails and sidewalks. We brought this to the Common Council. It was at 2 Common Council meetings. At the second meeting, they did finally agree with this proposal, although they made changes to it. So the original proposal by staff was just straight up just exempt public roads, sidewalks, and trails. Common Council, when at their second meeting, added some, and working with the city attorney, added some flesh to this proposal. For instance, there has to be an alternatives analysis. There has to be an application. So staff would prepare an application, present each individual request for a public road, sidewalk, or trail to the Common Council, saying that unit of government wants this road to go through a natural resource. Here's an alternatives analysis. Here's the reasons why they think it's inappropriate to be exempt from the natural resource protection standards. They would still have to do a natural resource protection plan so they could identify the resources and explain why, you know, the alternatives, avoid, minimize, mitigate. But they would not have to do a natural resource special exception if it was approved by the Common Council. And it also states that the Common Council could add conditions to this. So they could approve conditioned upon something being done. That's the proposal that's in front of us tonight. The Common Council saw a draft of it, and that would be text added as a footnote to the table of natural resource protection standards in chapter or part 4 of the UDO. And the staff's recommending.
This does not change any requirements that are subject to DNR rules, correct?
Correct. There's other conditions. They still have to get all other permits and approvals. If there's any woods, the city forester has to go out there and look at it. I think I'm missing one.
Wetland delineation.
Publicly owned, all of the approvals. Any areas disturbed have to be restored. Practical alternatives analysis, city forester, application to the Common Council for review and approval. and staff will establish procedures to treat all of these on a fair and equal basis.
Fuchs, you have a public hearing notice.
Notice hereby given that the Plan Commission of the City of Franklin will conduct a public hearing on Thursday, June 9th, 2016 at 7 p.m. or soon thereafter as the matter may be heard in the Common Council Chambers of the Franklin City Hall, 9229 West Loomis Road, Franklin, Wisconsin, 53132, to hear public comment regarding an application by the City of Franklin for a proposed ordinance to amend the Unified Development Ordinance text to add a footnote to Table 15-4.0100 to provide that all public, federal, state, county, and city-owned streets, sidewalks, and trails construction shall conditionally not be subject to the natural resource features protection standards following the review and approval of an application, therefore, by the Common Council.
Here we have a properly noticed public hearing. With that, I'll open a public hearing on this particular matter. Is there anyone in the public wishing to speak on this particular matter? Bye, Ms. Benning. It's fine.
Lori Benning, 10035 South 60th Street. I'm not quite sure what he just said, that you're not going to have to follow rules that are set aside by the state?
No, absolutely.
Or by the Natural Resource Department?
Joel, DNR? Let me do this. Let me try to take a crack at it with layman's language. So if the city, the state, a developer who is going to turn the street over to the city wants to develop a street that somehow impacts some natural resources.
Okay? Cattails. Example.
That's for the many experts we have in the room, right? That they won't have to go through the time-consuming review process that they would be reviewing. It removes redundancy from the system is what it does. Our staff typically reviews the natural resources protections, or we pay somebody else to do it. It's just saying that those we don't have to go through that process.
So you wouldn't have to get approval?
DNR, all of that stuff stays in place. It's just the city's requirements don't have to be applied for. Mr. City Attorney.
Okay. And then are there already plans for trails?
No.
In anything that we were talking about today with the last?
You got to ask John.
Okay.
But as you'll hear many times, sorry, John, but it's been political. I'm going to be political. The county has no money. There's, what, $300 million in deferred maintenance. They're not developing any parks, plain and simple.
Okay. And how is the city going to benefit from what was just?
For example, we had a proposal to do a street on 49th and Marquette, and there was a small pocket of wetlands. But it would have taken us a long period of time for our own internal procedures to determine if, in fact, we could impact that wetland. This removes that, but it doesn't remove the protections of the wetland. It just removes the procedures that we inflict on ourselves.
Okay. So is the DNR still involved at all if this passes?
Yeah, absolutely.
They are?
Okay. Wetland delineations, making sure we do it right. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Mr. City Attorney.
It's not just DNR. It's the Army Corps.
Yeah.
And to say that the Natural Resource Protection Standards no longer apply is incorrect. This is different than somebody wants to build a subdivision in the middle of a wetland, private development. These are public ways, necessary public streets. They are designed, planned, constructed, or fully supervised and design approval by the government. So it's a balancing of public needs and public purposes, and all it does not remove all of the standards. Rather, it's more expedient because it is public project, public purpose, public oversight. So the same governmental body that ultimately oversees the entirety of the natural resource protection standards in the city of Franklin makes a decision. Is this appropriate under the balancing of the public purpose needs, and does any mitigation have to occur, et cetera, et cetera? And DNR regulations always will apply. The city can't not avoid that, even if it wanted to, which it does not. The same for the Army Corps regulations. And when this was before the Common Council, the Common Council president had one recommendation, and that's with regard to the application process, it did not, was not requested to go into the ordinance, but that staff have a step-by-step detailed application process and detailed application terms, which include delineations of everything up front, not later, but as part of the application process. And the planning manager for the city has already prepared the scheduling chart, and that's been shared with the Common Council president since we had the Common Council meeting. So it's frankly a more streamlined, because it goes to one body for decision making, but all the rules and regs, et cetera, outside of having to go to the Environmental Commission and then having to go to the Plan Commission for a public hearing, as well as to the Common Council, and there are 45-day time periods between those occurrences and the like. That's what's removed.
Anyone else wishing to speak on this matter? Anyone else? All right, this is the last time. Anyone else? I usually get an alderman standing up right about now, but fortunately, no. Close the citizen comment, or the public hearing. Questions from the commission to the staff relative. Commissioner Haley.
Well, I guess I'll first say that at first I was very concerned and skeptical, but I think that what staff has done is made this manageable, and I understand the reason for it. The one concern, and you mentioned it, and I was going to ask, developers that are building a subdivision that will have a street that will ultimately become a city would also be exempt?
Mr. City Attorney.
That's one of the questions that staff and I discussed, and we asked it amongst ourselves. Actually, I asked it before it ever went to the council. And the thought was, part of the application process standards and how it occurs, the city of Franklin would have to detail review all of the subject plans. Let's say it's a residential subdivision with a street that would be dedicated. Ultimately, it would become city-owned. Engineering staff, planning staff, et cetera, would all have to detail review the plans and approve those before it occurs, and they do inspect and supervise the construction thereof. So, yes, under those circumstances where part of the inspection and detailed plan review process are adhered to.
And the concern that I have, and maybe it is addressed by what we're talking about here with the level of review that needs to happen, but without truly looking at the other alternatives, in many cases, a developer's incentive is going to be to maximize the number of lots. And that may drive the design and the layout of the roads, which may cause additional takings, if you will, of natural resources. So, but it sounds like we've got a process where we're going to be asking them to look at those other alternatives, and they will be analyzed. But I think it's going to be one of the first things that we're going to see is some developers either going to yell at us and say, how come you don't have to do it and we do, or I'm going to design the streets and put them where I want them to get those extra three lots out of the subdivision, and there may be significantly more impacts. So it seems like there's a comfort level, but I'm telling you, that's the concerns that I have, because you want the resources to design to drive the design, not the profit.
Discussion. All right, without objection, I have a motion. Would you like to read it? No objection, I will do. Is there a motion to recommend approval of an ordinance to amend the Unified Development Ordinance text to add a footnote to Table 15-4.0100 to provide that all public, being defined as federal, state, county, and city-owned, streets, sidewalks, and trails construction shall conditionally not be subject to the natural resources features protection standards following the review and approval of an application, therefore, by the Common Council.
So move.
Second.
Discussion of the motion.
One quick question, Mayor.
Mr. Fowler.
Would this still have to come in front of the Planning Commission, or is this going to go right to the Council?
Straight to Common Council. Council will see everything, but only the council will, unless they make it a condition to send it to somebody else.
That just makes the meetings 9:30 instead of... All those in favor of the motion to approve Recommend, signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries. All right, our friends at Historical Society. There is no public hearing, but we see you there, so it's all good. We move to business matters, item D1 for the record. Placement and reconstruction of historic 1880s barn in Lyons Legend Park Historical Complex. This is a site plan amendment application for the Historical Society, Mr. Deal.
Short. Staff's recommending approval. Staff, engineering department staff, did all the site work and did the site plan.
Wait a minute.
They're comfortable, and they're going to do a lot of the site prep work as well. So they're comfortable that they're protecting the tree zone. Staff's recommending approval.
The only thing I'd add to that is if there's any plans for additional buildings, let's do a master
early
site plan.
Yeah.
That's my big hang-up on all of this. For the Historical Society, we're hoping to stay on schedule, but we've had a personnel problem that may impact the schedule. So just so you know, we'll be work with you and be in touch. Is there a motion to approve a resolution amending the site plan for a property located at 8038 South Legend Drive to allow for placement and reconstruction of a historic 1880s barn and construction of a limestone demonstration patio area in Lyons Legend Park Historical Complex?
So moved.
Second.
Discussion. Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Item D2 is tabled by the applicant. Withdrawn by the applicant. Mr. Deagle.
Just for your information, it was my understanding. I know for sure the Alderman Dan Mayer had wanted to suggest to the Plan Commission that this be viewed by the Fair Commission. And I believe that this was a subject discussion at a committee of the whole meeting that I was not at, and that might have been a topic of discussion as well. So staff will continue to work with the applicant to pass along all this information to them.
We don't want to diminish the farmer's market that we have. We'd like to enhance it. So that of that. Your motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries.